session number 24692, wheel 2.
Mr. Green, reel 2. You were at Hutton Hall, as you said, quite a long time. And was that the time that you were with the headquarters when you were there?
Yes, yes. And then...
I know you mentioned guards and that, but what else were you doing at headquarters?
I just said about putting huts up. That took some time.
So prior to this, where were you sleeping and living? Were you in tents?
I think we were in tents. Yeah.
And would these be in the grounds of the hall or...?
I can't remember that bit now.
Certainly you were in tents yeah. when that that first winter came in. Is that the case?
I think we were.
This must have been extremely unfair.
I remember when we first went to Malton. Before, just come back to me there. Just thought about it. They put us on this, lot of racing stables at Malton, and they put us on this racing stables, land, Davies, and it was all tents. We were all in tents there, all belt tents, you know. The right thing. And it was all new experience to me, sleeping in them things. And
what did you sleep on in the tents? Were you lying on the ground or did you?
Palliasses. Yeah. Very palliasses. They just shut a palliass, you heap of straw, and just put some straw in the palliass.
And what did they give you for bedding?
Blankets. Yeah, I think you got about 3 blankets. Ground sheet. I don't think the ground sheets changed all through the war.
It must have been extremely unpleasant and damp.
It was. There was no room to move about. I mean, it said all the panels that break up the tent, that a man was sleeping in that panel. So you imagine what room there was. And all your feet went to the centre.
How did you keep clean?
That was a job. Well, everything when you heard it was damp, you know, everything was damp. You can imagine what it was like. I mean, today, tents are so much different. They've got a built-in ground sheet now. But they didn't have them days. You're just straight on the ground. And so you put your stuff to one side, more or less on the ground, you know. But, yes, stuff was damp and... Well, you don't think about it. I mean, you're a lot young in them days, and you're a bit more resilient, and you can put up with things that you would never do in later years. But it's a good job. Good job we were young. We didn't realise what was going on.
What? How did they feed you?
Not very well. That's one of my, what do you call it? Now, I always say, and I always will say, that the British Army was badly fed, badly clothed, and badly paid. And I still say to this day, they could have done better for us.
Well, what time would reveille be on a morning when you were at Malton?
Well, it would be about 7 o'clock-ish, 7 o'clock. When I was in HQ, yeah, really about 7 o'clock. Yeah, I wouldn't say that was exact, I don't know, but it'd be around about 7 o'clock in the morning.
So where then did you wash?
We had these ablutions.
And was that a tent again? Was that a
morning? No, it was just a wooden thing with a corrugated position around it. And rough and cold water. There was no hot water. You had to shave with cold water.
And where would the latrines be in relation to your tents?
Well, when we first went out, it was just a hole in the ground.
Was that screened, of course?
Oh, screened, and just a hole in the ground with a pole across. Yeah.
And presumably, when that was filled, you...
Just filled it in, started another one.
Then moved off to another
yeah.
one. And was that ground marked to indicate that it was fouled in any way?
I couldn't say, I can't remember. I can't remember.
So you'd get up around whatever the valid time was and obviously get clothing. Presumably you'd have to tidy your tent up?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And was that inspected, the NCOs?
Oh, yeah, you used to come around. You used to have to put your blankets up, fold your blankets up and put them on the... Probably just turned up and your blankets on top. Yeah.
Did they give you kit inspections?
I can't remember in the early days. But when you were on sites, a lot of things went past the board. The kit inspections. We used to have to make our beds up, just in case the officer come around and he'd look around notes and look around all the quarters, see if everything was clean. Yeah.
Then after you dressed and washed, you'd presumably go to breakfast. Was that the next move?
Breakfast, yeah. Yeah.
What might they give you for breakfast?
Well, the main thing was porridge without sugar. You could put what you like in it, but... We used to just eat it, porridge without anything in it. Bit of bacon, bit of egg. That was about a cup of tea, mug of tea. That was about it. Some bread. Yeah, that was about it. But remember, we were only young lads in them days. And so you got three meals. I wouldn't say they were good meals. But you were ready for it. You were really ready for them when they come along, you know.
Was it well cooked? Were the cooks good?
Yeah, I would say for the conditions some of them were working in at the time, it wasn't bad at all. Wasn't bad. I mean, porridge. Yeah, my mum used to make porridge for us. But it was a lot better than what they give it. I mean, when you went with your plate, because you had a plate, and sometimes you had your mess tin. And they used to shut it down. Sometimes it wouldn't leave the spoon. But that's the type of thing it was. But we used to eat it. We had to eat it anyway. We had to, whether you liked it or not.
I suppose as young lads, you would.
Yeah,
you
needed it.
Anyway.
You needed it. You were hungry. Yeah. Yeah. When we went on sites, that was when we went BHQ. Then we went on sites. What the heck they call them again? Sites. When we went on sites, we lived better because we used to go to the farms. We buy extra eggs and get this and the other, and the farms used to give us a lot of stuff. So we lived better.
So after breakfast, did you have to do anything like PE or PT or it was in those days?
In the early days, there was no such thing as PE. We didn't do that. You just, if you're BHQ, you just went about the normal course that happened during the day, you know, whatever it was. And you might have to go somewhere and go to the mob stores and for the rations and this, that, and the other, and give them a hand, you know, to load the wagon and then come back and unload it. Yeah. You know, things like that.
They were kind of general duties, you know?
Yeah, general duties.
And they would take you up to lunchtime, presumably? Or
take lunchtime, and then you went to lunch and...
What might you get for that?
Oh, you got a dinner, you know, potatoes, meat, so on, and you got a sweet. I think it's rice. I think mainly it was rice. And that was it, like, you know. At sea, and then on the afternoon, it was still the same thing, doing menial tasks, you know, everyday that had to be done to keep a battery HQ functioning. And it was, after I moved on to sites, I don't know how I came to get on the sites.
Just before we move on to sites, then you come up to your to your tea time meal.
Yeah.
What might that be?
I can't even remember now what it used to be. I know we always got a bit of cake after it. And what was the main? I can't remember. I can't exactly remember what we used to have for tea.
So what time might your day finish? Your working day finish?
When we went for tea, that was it. That was it. Unless you were picked out for something on a night time. Before the 24-hour guard came into being, some of them used to do guard, so they'd be working all day and then go on guard from the night, which was a bit tiring, like, you know. But
how did you fill your evenings in when you were off duty, other than the guards that you've mentioned?
First thing, you cleaned all the equipment, polished your boots, cleaned the equipment, ready for the next day. And yeah, then go into the other mess room, go in there, you could have a drink, you buy a drink, and probably have a game card.
Yeah, they had a canteen on
canteen.
The headquarters.
Yeah.
And gambling, did people get into gambling? Cards?
I think they did. I wouldn't. In them early days at Batley HQ, I don't think I got in because we didn't have enough money to speculate.
How much money did you? Was your first pay?
I think it was 2 shillings a day.
And
I think it was 2 shillings. And they used to allow 1 shilling a day home. So, it wasn't a lot of money.
Were there any other deductions taken, the barrack room damages, although you weren't
no,
in the barrack room?
No.
How did you get on with the population around about you, the people living around you?
Oh, they were all right. They never used to bother us. And where we had BHQ?
Yes.
BHQ, we were away from the village. When we come off the mountain to York Road, we come to Hutnall, and then the village was further on. So we didn't really come into contact with them that much.
You didn't get into the village at very early night times.
No.
Did the young ladies appear outside?
Not really. No. I think we used to go into Malton. We were about 3 miles away from Malton. So probably wagon laid on, take it into Malton for a couple of hours. That was it, like, you know. I wouldn't say we had a good. We went down. We enjoyed ourselves in our own way as far as we could go.
Did you get on well together with the people that you were with?
Funny enough, yes. Yeah, tiffs and arguments, like, you know. But never really come to any fisticuffs or out like that.
There's no bullying that went on?
No. Well, I never seen any. I always got on all right with everybody and. No, I couldn't see anything. Probably it was elsewhere, I don't know, because you can never get people living together like that and be amicable all the time. So
sometimes it must have been quite boring, the days.
Oh, yeah. The winter time was the worst time, because you couldn't do anything.
And the ground must have really churned up that you were having to walk over. And
yeah, well, the HQ wasn't bad because that was all there. I mean, there was a big paddock there. It was where they used to have the horses when the hall was in being. And there was all the storerooms around it. And one of them used to be the... What to call the man who gives all the stuff?
Quartermaster.
The quartermaster. Stores was all there, and a lot of things around there. The mechanics used to work there, and the lorries, the big parking place, the lorries you park, so it was all outstanding ground. Yeah. You're pushing me with memory now.
Do you remember any of the officers in battalion headquarters that you got to know pretty well?
Not really. BHQ, I know Colonel Rear was the man.
What was he like?
He was a nice chap. He used to have a factory in Stockton, Rear's electrical business. He was a nice chap.
Any NCOs? Do you remember any non-commissioned officers, sergeants, corporals?
The only one I can remember is Elliot Taylor and a fella called Brown. But that's when I was on site, you know.
Which we'll come to, of course. Yeah. We'll come to.
But BHQ, I can't remember anyone. There was a lad there who used to be in BHQ. I think he's Corporal Bowman, he used to call him, Boxer Bowman. And he was sort of like Norman Bowman. I used to see him round Stockton many times, but he's probably passed on some time ago now.
Again, there was...
Because I was only young. I was only young, so... I was not younger than the others at the end of the war. So,
but none of these were bullying types, the NCOs?
No, I didn't see it. I never come across any of it. I mean, you don't know what you're told. They used to... I'm going later when they used to do the training. When we were HQ, there was no marching, none of this. It was just your jobs, everyday jobs you had to do. But after that, when we went, they used to get us back into BHQ, and they used to give us a day's training, you know. But that's coming when we were out in sight. Yeah. But
did you receive any changes in personnel in those very early weeks? Were they taking some of the more experienced men out into other battalions and bringing young ones in, what they call the immatures, 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds?
Well, if they did, I wouldn't know nothing about it.
You didn't see any of that?
No. We did start to get a few women's...
ATS.
ATS.
What they were coming in, what were they doing then? What was their job?
Clerical work most of the time. Clerical work.
Did that cause any problems having a small number of ladies with large numbers of men?
I don't think so. I've never seen it. You know, it never caused any problems with us. I think we just went our own way on, you know. And we see them and sometimes talk to them, but that's about all. Wasn't that many of them at the time, like, you know.
Didn't organise any dances at the headquarters for yourselves and the local people?
No.
Or in the villages?
No, there's nothing like that.
So you were with
Battery
Headquarters, from the beginning of them, when you went into the war. About what time then did you leave them? Have you any idea what date it would be?
I think you must be going on for 42.
So you were with Battery Headquarters a long time?
Yeah.
Have you any other memories of life in Battery Headquarters?
I haven't really.
So at this period of time, you then moved on to the site, one of the sites?
Yeah.
And I think you said that was near Scarborough.
Yeah, I went to Stonehills. It was near Carnaby. Along the coast road, running from Scarborough up to, you could go towards Hull that way. That was all right. I enjoyed that.
What were you doing on that site? What was your particular task?
Well, I was looking after the searchlight. I mean, the... Oh, wait a minute. No, I went out Stonehills. I was at the site before Stonehills. I went to... when I was at BHQ, which was 411, I went to a site. I was at just outside Driffield. You get here? And that's when I first come across all the equipment. And it was a bit queer, these listening devices, what they had in them days. It was sort of a listening device that just give you width, you know, about 4 to 8 foot width of the hearing. Put the, like a stethoscope in your ear. And you used to have to move it around till you got the, you know, you had to get the sound within. Very, very primitive. And anyway, I had to go at that, and then they put me on looking after the searchlight. You know.
What do you mean by looking after the
searchlight? Well, you used to, after watching Ben and then the carbons, one carbon was like that, and the other carbon come up like that.
It's so an angle. Yeah,
the end in between was the light, and that's shot onto the mirror and out. Yeah. And so you just have to keep the gap is right. So you just, by hand, you know. Yeah, that was the early ones. And then, I don't know how came it, the memory. What, I was at Driffield. I was at Driffield when Driffield Aerodrome got bombed. And we got a bomb just in the next field to us. It was very difficult to pick enemy planes up with the type of stuff, the equipment we had, like, you know. I mean, you're talking about equipment there that was made for the First World War, probably. And
what was your particular role in the crew? The searchlight had the crew, of course. What was your position in that crew?
What was me?
You see, there would be men on the locators, there'd be men on the on the arm. What particular job?
Yeah, there was two. There'd be two on the searchlight itself. There'd be the one, number five, who used to look after the flame. Then you had on what are called the long arm, like, you know, and you used to walk around with it and fit the angle to give it the up and down. And I'm trying to think. And then you had a couple of spotters out with their binoculars, and they were scanning the skies. I mean, it's all it and this stuff when you look at it, but in them days, everything was new to us. And we thought, well, it must be good stuff. But when you look back, like, then of course, we're following on after that.
This was the very early searchlight. What size was it?
I think it was 90 centimetre. I think it was 9.
And how many would be in the crew?
Well, on the site, there'd be 11 men.
How were they disposed?
That was the detachment band.
How were they disposed? What were their particular...
Well, you start off from the sergeant in charge, the cook, then you had 9 men, so you'd have, I think it was 3, 4, 5... 6, 7. Well, 7 of them would be on the equipment, with spotters and what have you. I just forget what the other 2 were doing.
There'd be a man on the generator, presumably.
Yes. Yeah. And I remember his was number 9. That was his number 9, the generator man. Yeah.
And what number did you have?
I used to be number 5, which was the operator.
The actual operator of the... And how did you personally operate the searchlight?
We just, as he moved it, you had to walk around and keep looking into the... it's like a coloured glass that you look into and you could see the flame and see if it burned all right. Yeah. Yeah. All very primitive, you know.
And were you in huts on that site, or tents?
Hut. We had a hut. Yeah.
Was there much enemy activity?
Any what?
Was there much enemy activity?
Not at first, wasn't. That was the best When the Bombsfield Aerodrome, that was the first we'd seen for a long while. We'd had planes in the area, but nothing towards happened, like, you know, to look that. And as soon as we put the light up, and the bomb dropped and jumped in next field. Wasn't a very big one. Left a crater, like, you know. And
did you have any defence on the site against enemy aircraft that might actually attack the search?
Yeah. We had a Lewis gun. That was all we had, a Lewis gun. Yeah. So that'd make up for the other man. Yeah.
So how did you get to know that enemy aircraft was approaching?
We had a radio.
And that message would come in from somewhere?
Yeah.
Do you know who was sending that message?
I only think we took Terry from Troop H crew.
Presumably they were picking it up from Observer Corps or whatever.
Yeah, wherever they got it from. Yeah. They must be getting it from somewhere. You look back, like, when you look back, you wonder how you got through the years with the stuff you had.
So then the signal came, obviously you would then stand too. So sleeping, I mean, it's night work that you're talking about, aren't you? You were out at night, you were on duty in effect at night with the searchlight.
Yeah.
So how about sleeping? And were you tired? Was it a great deal of night work?
We used to do training sometime night if there was no any activity. We used to do a night train and we'd send a plane over one of ours and use this practice, picking it up and this, that and the other.
So those were the nights you'd at least get some sleep when everything was quiet. Yeah.
I mean, and then things, it's by pushing my memory. I remember it all. But it was so, it was, you know, I can't remember us ever picking a plane up with equipment we were had. I can't remember. Hear them, yes. But to pick them up with that equipment we had, no, I can't remember ever picking one up.